Mike and Claire had been dating for about 2 years, and things were going very, very well. And Mike could remember that first time when he got up the nerve and the courage to say to Claire, "I love you." But he was very scared and afraid and nervous because he was worried, is she going to say it back? He was afraid of that vulnerability and opening himself up. And now Mike and Claire had talked about marriage for a few months now, and Mike was just got the feeling that it was about time to propose to her. So Mike carefully selected the ring, but still, he had the proposal planned out just perfectly, but still those nerves and that vulnerability came about because he was scared of being that chance that she would not say yes. But let's leave them to the side for a moment. But the disciples gathered in that upper room as well. They were very scared, and they were also had difficulty being vulnerable. They feared for their lives, for one thing, because as we hear that they were locked in that upper room for fear of the Jews. They had killed Jesus, and they thought, gosh, maybe we're going to be next. And also, not only were the doors locked, but more so, the doors of their hearts, in a sense, were also locked. They had followed Jesus, and they thought they're following him and the mission that they were about to take on, they thought was so promising, but then after Jesus' crucifixion, they were just wondering if maybe all that Jesus had promised seemed to be too good to be true. Yet, of course, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And they might have been pretty scared right when he came for multiple reasons, but one of them might have been, gosh, is he angry with us? Because if we think about it, Peter, James, and John were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked them to stay up and pray with him, but they fell asleep. All of the apostles, with the exception of John, abandoned Jesus at the cross. And then after Mary Magdalene and the others and the other women had come to tell them about that he had been raised from the dead, they were very hesitant and slow to believe and didn't quite get it all yet. But instead, we see something very different. We see Jesus saying, "Peace be with you." No anger, no questions, but he wanted to give them the fullness of his life, the fullness of his peace. It had all seemed too good to be true. Jumping back to Mike and Claire, Mike had that perfect night and carried through the proposal and waited, and Claire said yes. But he was still scared, though, of course, because he thought, gosh, she knows all of my weaknesses, my faults, my shortcomings. Will she want to spend the rest of her life with me? But Claire knew it all, and she said, yes, I will marry you. Just as Jesus said, peace be with you, even knowing how the apostles had failed him, had abandoned him, he knew their weaknesses and their faults, but still, he came back to them to show them his love and his mercy. Then, of course, we come to St. Thomas, and of course, St. Thomas so often gets a bad rap, and we can say, well, gosh, he was the doubting one, but perhaps it was more in the sense of, just as the other 11 apostles said, or the other 10 at that time said, oh, this is too good to be true. That's probably what Thomas thought. Could Jesus have really come back? This just seemed too good to be true. And just as Jesus had showed his hands and his side to the other apostles, he offered them to Thomas to touch and to feel. Yes, Jesus had shown the ultimate openness, the ultimate vulnerability, and coming among us as one of us, taking on our weak human condition, and to die for us. And it was as if Jesus said to them, yes, I know your faults, your weaknesses, your shortcomings, but still, I did this for you. My hands were pierced for you, despite me knowing the ways that you would fail me and the ways that you had failed me. I let my heart be pierced because I wanted to pour out my love and my mercy, even though I knew you would go astray. Yes, Thomas came to see and believe. And we too are called to see and believe in this great love, this great divine mercy which is the greatest expression of God's love for us as well. Because yes, at times we had difficulty opening up perhaps in our friendships, marriages, or other relationships. It's difficult for us maybe even at times to say, I love you to someone, wondering if they will love us back. Because other people have hurt us. We've known rejection. And we wonder at times, gosh, does God really love me? I've done this and that, or I struggle with X, Y, or Z, or I've been here in the past, or right now I'm struggling with this, and this seems to be too much. I can't open myself up to God, so I can't possibly believe that he could forgive me, that he can love me in all my ugliness. But instead, Jesus shows us his hands and his side. His hands that were open in the great embrace and love for us, that were pierced for us, inviting us and beckoning us to come to him, to his heart. His heart that was pierced for us, which unlocked the doors of his heart to let his mercy and his great love flood and pour out for us in the midst of our own wounds, our own worries, our own struggles, our own sins, our own insecurities, whatever it is that we're facing. Jesus wants us to come to him and not be afraid, knowing that he says to us, yes, I know all your faults, your foibles, your weaknesses, but I love you. I gave myself for you. I continue to pour myself out to you in my love and my mercy each day. Come to me. Don't be afraid to open your heart. Trust me. Surrender your life to me. I will heal you. I will make you whole. And yes, he invites us to do so in many ways, in our life of prayer and walking with him each day and following him as closely as we can and bringing the wounds of sin to the sacrament of reconciliation so that he can heal us. Just as he gave the apostles that authority to forgive and retain sins today, that authority is passed down to God's priest today. And it is through Jesus that we are healed and that we are forgiven. Yes, Jesus invites us not to be afraid, not to come to him and to expect his love, to expect his mercy. And here, of course, every time we gather here at the Eucharist, as we come before this altar, he opens himself completely to us, opens his heart, pours out all his graces and blessings, and invites us to do the same so that we can receive his mercy and then share that great news of his mercy with all that we meet.